We resume our study today in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4. And Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin our reading in chapter 5, verse 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel unto Hebron to speak to David, and spoke, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also, in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were he who led out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people, Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. Saul reigned 40 years, David reigned 40 years, and David's son Solomon will reign 40 years also. What does that mean? I don't know. And anybody who would tell you something is guessing. Verse 5. Excuse me. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And so the thing that God promised David 17 years earlier has now come to pass. It is God's time, and David is ready to rule the entire country. Now, God did not say, David, in 17 years, or in 6,205 days, you will reign. So you can start checking them off one day at a time. He didn't say that. God gave David his word and then expected him to occupy himself with holiness while he waited. And that's pretty much what David did. 6. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, who spoke unto David, saying, Watch this, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in here. Thinking, David cannot come in here. The Canaanites who occupied Jerusalem were overconfident about being able to keep it. They said, we could defend our city with the blind and the lame and still be able to keep it. Now, there's nothing wrong with confidence. Confidence is good. Overconfidence and arrogance is just asking for trouble. Verse 7. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. And the same is the city of David. God says, nevertheless, David captured the city. God yawned at the boasting of the Canaanites. When God hears people say how they're going to do things their way, and not his way. You know, the Bible says, he who sits in the heavens laughs. Verse 8. And David said on that day, whosoever gets up to the water shaft and smites the Jebusites and the lame and the blind, who are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So they arrogantly speak of how they're going to keep the city, you know. But their arrogant remark about defending the city with the lame and the blind didn't intimidate David one single bit. I don't think that guy could be intimidated by anyone or anything. See, he's heard boasting like that before from the big guy, Goliath. Goliath was going to feed his dead body to the dogs or the birds, whatever he said, I don't remember. But it didn't matter then, and it doesn't matter here. David kept a God focus and followed the plan. And the best thing to do is to keep a God focus and prayerfully come up with a plan and prayerfully follow it, no matter what it involves. 9. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the City of David. And David built round about Milo and inward. And David went on and grew great. And the Lord God of hosts was with him. Verse 10. Actually, I just read verse 10, didn't I? Things are really starting to click for David now, aren't they? He's grown in power, and he has the kingdom. He's like that tree in the book of Psalms that's planted by the rivers of water. He's bringing forth fruit in its season. When we walk with God, he will take us to heights that we otherwise would not attain to. It may take a while, and it may not even be physical in nature, but it will happen, and we will see the fruits for sure, if not before, then in eternity. 11. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David a house. Hiram was a good guy. He was always willing to work with King David and later on with David's son Solomon. Hiram needed agricultural products for his people, and Israel needed skilled laborers and building materials. Hiram was not one of God's people, but David worked with him. Good to get along with non-Christians the best that we can. It's not good to act superior to them, but it is good to be a spiritual light in their presence. 12. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. David knew that God made him king. He also knew that God didn't do it to build up David's self-esteem. God did it for the sake of his people Israel, like Christians today. God's purpose for David and David's purpose for being was not to make a name for himself. God calls, anoints, and gifts his people to glorify him and to be a blessing to others. 13. And David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron. And there were yet sons and daughters born to David. And these are the names of those who were born unto him in Jerusalem: Shammua, Shobab, and Nathan, and Solomon, Ibar also, and Elishua, and Nepheg, and Japhia, and Elishama, and Eliada, and Elphaelet. Kings back then had harems. And again, just because it is accurately recorded in the Bible doesn't mean that God liked it. It was not acceptable to him. But it was socially acceptable, which is neither here nor there, I suppose. The problem with what David did is that he didn't seek God's will concerning the extra wives. Either that, or he didn't listen when God said no. Either way, he was wrong. All kings were doing it, that's true. But that didn't mean that David should do it. He was a child of God. He's supposed to be following the leader of God in every area of his life. And it's the same today. God's people, Christians are held to a higher standard of behavior in the world, than the world, I should say, and in the world. That's part of the cost Jesus tells us to count before we choose to become a Christian. 17, but when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines had been leaving David alone, but that all changes now that they hear how strong he is. They're probably intimidated and probably figure they have to squash him while they still possibly can. Sort of like having a baby tiger for a pet. You better get rid of it before it gets too big, or it may end up having you for lunch. 19. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will certainly deliver the Philistines into your hand. David will not make a move against the Philistines unless he knows that God is in it. I think he learned from history, which is something that Saul never did, which is something that a lot of kings later on in Israel will not do, which is what a lot of our leaders today do not do. They don't open up the Bible. They don't look at the consequences for rebellion against God and learn lessons. They just continue on rebelling against God, thinking mistakenly and stupidly, thinking that everything's going to be okay. And of course, we Christians sometimes do that too, don't we? But I think David learned from history. Saul got in trouble with God when he was king because he acted independently of the Lord. And David wants to make sure that he doesn't make the same mistake. You see, we should not use other people's failures as excuses for us to do wrong. Well, they did it wrong. They did the wrong thing. They rebelled against God. Why can't I? That's the wrong attitude, and it's also foolish. We should look at their foolishness and failures and determine that we're not going to be like them at all. 20. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there, and said, the Lord has broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the surging of the waters. Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. David is saying, I couldn't have done it if God had not been out in front, working and doing it himself. God opened the way for David by throwing the lead block, and God sustained his block until David got the victory. And no matter what we do that's good or productive, it is God who gives the opportunity, and it is God who gives the enabling grace to do it. 21. And there they left their images, and David and his men buried them. Pagans would carry their idols into battle with them, thinking that their gods would fight for them. I mean, they actually believed that gods were inside of the idols. And so we see that the Philistines' so-called gods were pitiful. They were so useless that their own worshippers left them behind like trash. I would have taken them home, at least. And if nothing else, use them for kindling wood, because that's about all that they were good for.